Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 37. On tonight's episode, there are so many updates. Splatoon gets an update. Smash Brothers gets an update. Miiverse gets an update. Everybody gets an update. Plus, Square Enix got a little bit chatty, actually, about the NX. So, you know, there's that. As always, the maestro of music, Zach himself, is here. So if you could, sir, cue our music.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight... Wow, I'm, like, peeking like crazy over here. What's going on? Tonight is... July 30th. Holy crap. My name is Zach Erickson. Joining me tonight is Justin Masson. What's going on, Justin?
You know, keeping it both real and fresh today. I'm excited about my ability to multitask, so that's pretty cool.
You know, actually, multitasking is a myth. I don't know if you know that.
Really,
it just means that you're really good at jumping back and forth. You're not actually doing two things at once. Joining us as well. I know. Speaking of doing more than one thing at a time, doing two things at once. Jesse Waldack from VGTribune.com, live from, what is it, Detroit? Is that what's going on?
Unfortunately.
Hey, that is not an unfortunate. We love all of our listeners in Detroit.
The unfortunate part is that I'm in Eastern time, so we're already starting the show close to midnight.
Oh, geez. You know what? I was even, like, kind of dilly-dallying because I'm at my parents' tonight. If I would have known that, I probably would have been a little bit more speedy. But so my apologies.
I was originally going to make the joke that everyone should close your blinds because Zach is peeking.
I am totally peeking, and you know what? It makes sense to me, man. I am on the road as well. Like I said, I'm staying at my parents. I have packed up the Nintendo Dads Podcast mobile studio, but so this episode may be interesting. But we appreciate your patience, dear listeners, as we do the transition here. Next week we should be back to normal. Next week will be similar to this for me, but the week after that'll be good. Anyways, you know what?
That should be normal, at least.
Well, as normal as normal can be.
True what? That.
Womp, womp. Let's head into the news.
Do it!
Wow, we have got some serious news this week. We've got all sorts. We talked last week, we suspected that Nintendo was going to be quiet for about the next week, and then they were going to blow the doors off all of the rest of the summer updates, and I think that confirmed it happened this week. We've got all of the updates. Starting actually tonight, the Smash Brothers Direct or the Smash Brothers update went live just before recording, and so I think maybe let's start on that one first, just chronologically, and then we can kind of bounce around. Just because it's the most recent, we can talk about Miiverse and Splatoon and all that jazz a little bit later, but. Smash Brothers update, which is out today. Justin, do you have a list of the Smash Brothers updates? Exactly what this update says?
No, I'm actually going through the press kit right now to get it because we didn't get an official Nintendo press kit for about it actually. So here's what we do know: tournaments are here, folks.
There you go. I'm looking on MyNintendoNews.com and they've got a few things here. It says users will be able to purchase newly added downloadable content. Now, the downloadable content we'll come back to because there are some hints at what we may not be getting as downloadable characters, which I think some people are sad about, but we'll come back to that one. As well, we've got added community
and regular tournaments, eh?
Yeah, so regular tournament modes and community. I think we're going to need to play around with this in the next week or so because I would love to have a Nintendo Dads tournament online. Maybe we could even maybe throw a free game in there. We've got some download codes we still got to give away.
Let's do it.
That would be amazing. So stay tuned for that. But tourney modes are here as well. Users can also advertise their tournaments in the tourney community in Miiverse. Added functionality to post replays to YouTube, so that's here as well, which is awesome. I'm actually really excited about that.
Yeah, I feel like that's a big win.
It says users can only post their own content, and a Google account is required to use this feature, which is similar to how Mario Kart 7 works. I'm guessing that is only for Wii U that you can you do. Can you upload Wii U, or can you upload 3DS replays? Is that a thing?
I don't think so.
Okay. And also, adjustments have been made for a more pleasant gaming experience, which basically, I mean, balance patch, all that kind of stuff. But anyway, so as far as downloadable content that's coming as well, we have a few things for sure. I'm just going to pull up and see what we have. We have some new stages and new Mii Fighter costumes. Where are these here? Sorry, I'm like way more relaxed. I'm like laying down doing the show today, and I feel like I'm like totally slacking here.
Let's see what we got here. Now there is King K. Rool.
Yeah, King K. Rool costume, which that was suspected to be the highest ranked, or the most requested costume, right? From the Smash ballot, at least that was from sort of external polling.
Well, I think, you know, if we take a pause on that right now, you know, I think everyone thought they were going to get the character, not a Mii costume.
Right. Which,
so I think that's a bit of a kicker.
They fooled you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. So we've got King K. Rool. We've got costumes.
Which doesn't mean that he can't come as like a normal character.
Well,
later.
That's the thing, right? Like we've got
a Mega Man costume and a Mega Man character.
And Link. We've got, you know, there's that doesn't necessarily say that we can't do it, but it does sort of.
Doesn't bode well.
Yeah, exactly. So as well, we've got some other ones. We've got like this bear with his hand in a honey pot for the gunner. I
believe
love
he's called
one.
The Honey Bear.
The Honey Bear. I love the Honey Bear. That's amazing. Yep. And the flying man from Earthbound. Now, for those of you who have played the 3DS one, that's basically the 8-bit dude that like flies around and beats on you. There is now a costume of that as a brawler, which is cool. Who's this dude with the spiky hair?
What's Honey Bear from?
I have no clue.
I think he's just one of those weird animal costumes. Like
they have Krom or Krom.
Yeah, Krom. Krom is actually was Fire Emblem Awakening. He is who Robin summons as part of the final Smash. There's like that other character that jumps in and fights with him.
Who doesn't know that?
Yeah, come on, man! Didn't you play Fire Emblem Awakening? Jeez. So anyway, and then there's King K. Rool and some other stuff. There's also stages. We've got Hyrule Castle 64, which is the Zelda stage from the 64 Smash Brothers, as well as, is it the Mario one? The Mario stage?
Peach's Castle from
Smash Brothers. So all in all, like, I don't know, for you guys, this is kind of a smaller DLC update. There's no new characters.
Did we lose you?
Can you hear me, Justin?
What? I can still hear you.
Okay, we might be losing Jesse. I'm not sure. So I don't know, Justin, do you like, is this something that interests you at all? Have you bought any of the Smash Brothers DLC?
Yeah, I've bought some of it.
Did you buy the new characters?
I bought some of the new costumes.
Okay.
The new characters I didn't, none of them really. Lucas was probably the one that really stood out to me, but $5 I felt was a bit steep. Mm-hmm. I think the challenge that I have with this model, and I know that some of it's free DLC, but some of it's paid DLC.
Right.
The challenge that I have is that, you know, I look at a game like Mario Kart, where I pay $12 or $13 and I get 50% of the game, 50% more. It's one shot done. That's a huge value proposition from a DLC. And I've mentioned before, I have no problems paying that. But the Smash strategy for DLC feels like it's nickel and diming you. Right, like the last one, wasn't it in total, like if you bought everything, it was like $32 Canadian?
Something like
that's,
that, yeah.
That's ridiculous for...
It's pretty crazy.
For, you know,
you
like...
Know, I've been
no reason you should be paying $4 for a level.
Yeah, well, the levels is one thing, right? I feel like the levels should be free. They should be included. Yep. However, I don't have a problem... Like, if they weren't... I recently have been playing... You know, we talked a little bit about it last week, but I've been playing Heroes of the Storm on... Mm-hmm. on Mac and PC and whatever. That game is free to play, but they don't give you the roster, right? Like there's some,
right.
They cycle through the things. But in order to buy a character, you can either pay with in-game gold, but if you buy them with real money, those characters are like $10 a piece sometimes, right? And so like when you look at it from that perspective, it's like, oh, well, that's actually not too bad to pay $5 for a character. But all of these other little things are a lot, you know, like paying the same amount, like $3 or $4 for a level, and paying like $1 for Mii Fighter, you know, a Mii Fighter skin. It's a skin, right? It's not like it's anything other than just a skin.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
I feel like I'm okay. Like, I feel like I'm okay for the price for the fighters, but if that's how much they're going to charge for the fighters, they need to make everything else free.
Yep.
So that's kind of where I stand on it.
I would agree with that, right? And like, and I appreciate that there's work and there's balancing, and I get all that, but I do think that if it's the levels, that should be free. I'm happy that the tourney stuff is free. The patch for the YouTube is all free, which it should be, because those should have been in the game before. But it is when you're charging $3 for, you know, Hyrule Castle 64, like, I got an issue with that.
Yeah, for sure. Like, those are the, again, like, those are the things where it doesn't, yes, they had to create the level and create the assets and all that kind of stuff, but I feel like that's still like, okay, well, that's, you can include that for free. That way everybody can play on the same levels, and then if people want to play as the new fighters, that, there's a ton of development time that could potentially go into that, and the balancing and all of that, so I feel like that's where it really becomes an issue of like, okay, guys, like let's rein it back here. And
yeah, I agree with that.
I don't know.
Anyway. And I think it's difficult when, I mean, we're going to put this in context or in counter in a couple moments about the Splatoon update, right? But the other thing the update now we haven't seen, but I saw Scuttlebug? that doesn't sound right. It's tired. I'm tired. Is a Dr. Mario stage. Did you see this?
Oh, I did. Yeah, I would. I am actually really excited about that. That would be really cool. Now, and that looked like it was for the, it also kind of looked kind of phony baloney, the screenshots, like it was maybe faked, but that would be really cool if they did.
And great. What was the other one they said? Great.
I don't know if I saw. That's the only one I saw the rumor of. Was there more?
There was two. There was two. I'll have to figure. Give me a couple seconds.
Yeah, I think I don't remember what the other one was either. But I think one was for the Wii U version and one was for the 3DS version.
Yeah. Cool.
So we're not getting the Dr. Mario on both, I don't think.
Okay, cool.
I think the Dr. Mario is the Wii U version. But I'm not 100% sure.
I have to remember what the other one is. This is going to irritate me now until I find it. Give me a second. Here we go. Talk amongst yourselves, everyone.
Right on. So anyways, that's kind of, I'm also just kind of looking at Reddit as well. See, this is what happens when we are on like kind of a weird off week. Like we end up not doing as much show prep as we probably should have. That's okay. So anyway, that's the Smash Brothers update. Any other final thoughts? I suspect that we probably will see, information about upcoming characters around the time that the poll closes, which was what, October?
Yeah, October.
So we'll probably see an announcement of what those characters will be around then. I don't really suspect any sooner. And then maybe having the new characters be part of their fall push.
Yeah. So here's the thing that I'm going to kind of say that I thought was very interesting, because we are going to talk about more about the whole week, because there's a lot of updates. But for both Splatoon, both for Smash, although we know these updates were coming, we anticipate them to be in August, what we were told. We get them before August, well, except for, sorry, Splatoon is August 5th. But this all feels like things that could have been in a Direct. Do you mean like
this? I was thinking about this today too. I wonder, and I actually was wondering like, and here's a question maybe that's part of a larger discussion, but in a post-Iwata Nintendo, what is the future of Nintendo Direct? You know what I mean? Like, Nintendo Direct was something that was very, like, especially in those sorts of things where Iwata was the one who would start them a lot of the time. You know, he was there at the beginning, and then he would be the one to kind of end it. Like, who takes on that role. And I mean, like, Iwata would do it for Japan and for North America. I'm not sure what he would do for, you know, who would do it for the Europe, but is there, like, do they have somebody else replace him? Or what do they do? Like, I wonder if that's something that he was, how central was he in instigating those Nintendo Directs, and what sort of, you know, who steps up to take that role, or does it end up feeling more like a PR Direct, or like, I don't know. It's just kind of this weird thing that I was thinking about today. Do we see the Nintendo Direct change because Iwata is no longer around?
Right. Yeah, it is very weird. Like this, like everything that came out feels like it should have probably been a Direct.
They could have well, I mean, like, look at all this stuff. You've got the Miiverse update, you've got Splatoon, you've got Smash Brothers, you know, like all of this stuff. Those three things could have been a big part of the Direct, you know. And I mean, we're starting to see footage come in, like review footage come in for you know, Animal Crossing, which I think is coming out in Japan fairly soon. Like all of these things that, like, well, dudes, where's the Direct, man? Like, let's see it here. But I don't know.
We're anyway. Doing the Direct right now.
Yes, exactly. So I don't know. So that's interesting. So next up we have this. Let's go back a few days and talk about this Miiverse update. My Wii U is currently packed up in a box, and my 3DS, I haven't really had a chance to mess around with it too much. Have you guys, like, what is this Miiverse update? I looked on the web, and it seems like the web doesn't have a whole, it looks pretty similar to me.
Yeah, I fundamentally, it's pretty similar. Just there's some new features that they included, which was a screenshot album, the play journal, there's a new look to the main communities where there's, you have drawings and discussions. So, I mean, at the core crutch of it,
I'm not going to lie, from the web version, it looks like this actually, it seems more convoluted than before.
It seems
way more confusing. Like here's play journal entries, which I don't know what that means. New drawings. Like, it's like they wanted to, like, turn it into something like this new discussions area. I'm just looking on the website. It's like, okay, like, so are you trying to turn this into like a forum? And also, like, I just don't understand what their purpose is. I thought that it was actually pretty elegant the way that it was set up before, where even though it was kind of like, you know, kind of, it was very sort of stream of consciousness-esque, almost like Twitter, where it's like, well, if you don't look and see it right then you miss it if you go to the live communities. And I think maybe they're just trying to make the communities easier to read instead of just having them be that sort of Twitter, you know, blink and you miss it sort of thing. But I honestly, like, this doesn't make it more exciting for me to go to, like more appealing. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that is kind of the thing, is I don't really feel it's I mean, it's done some minor tweaks, but I don't know if it's really made anything like massively exciting for me. You know, I think that had they decided to take more of a you know, I've kind of been saying before, it took a bit of a Facebook approach to it, maybe if they actually rolled out as an app for the phones and stuff like that, wouldn't have had a huge issue with it. But
yeah,
I don't know.
Like, looking at, like, I mean, another thing that I really think they could do to improve Miiverse as well is, how about you actually let me post full resolution screenshots from the Wii U? That's one thing that always bothered me about that, is if you post like a screenshot from a Wii U game from the TV, it's like, dude, this is a 1080p image. Why is it like 480p when I go to it on the, like, you know, on the internet? I don't know. That's just something that I've seen, because, you know, trying to capture images to then post on social media.
Because that's the resolution of the gamepad.
Right. But like, if you're doing it from the TV though, like if you're specifically posting an image from the top screen, so to speak, right, and that's the screenshot, it still downs, it compresses that image, which is kind of getting into weird nerdy, you know, image file sizes and whatever and resolution, but that's something that's always kind of bugged me. That's, I don't know, a little bit of a side note. But this Miiverse thing, I don't know. It's like, okay, I don't know why you're so excited about this. It doesn't really look that different. Like, functionality-wise, I think it is nice that you can save screenshots to an album now. But like I kind of said before, you still have to hit the home button, then go to Miiverse, then save it to an album. Like, it's still super clunky and weird, and as far as that goes, like, you know, it's not super intuitive. Whereas in some games that have really, like Animal Crossing New Leaf, for example, where you just hold down the L and R button and it snaps a picture and you've got, you know, and it saves it right to your camera roll on your on your 3DS. So, I don't know. Hopefully this is something that they're going to be really intentional with the NX, where it's similar to almost to the... I know the PS4, Jesse, you have a PS4, right? Don't they have some sort of a button on the controller that, like, kind of functions as that almost? Where you can share?
Well, there is a share button, but I really don't understand how it works. I've never used it to try to push anything through Twitch or through YouTube.
Okay.
Because I have my own technology to do exactly that.
Mm-hmm.
And the game developers also have the ability to block what can be shared.
Right. Well, same thing with the Miiverse as well. I think there are some games that you can't post images to.
I don't just mean game by game, but I mean by scene within a game.
Oh, really?
Because when I played through Arkham Knight, when I got to a cutscene in the end game, it says, "This cannot be shared."
Oh, sorry, I took a drink of water while you finished talking.
Nice.
Stay classy. So I don't know. What do you think, Justin, as far as this goes? Like, does it meet your expectations? Are you like...
Like, I'm mad about it. Like, I didn't think there's anything horribly wrong with the first Miiverse.
I just don't think anybody uses it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's a thing that I don't really think, like, every once in a while I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool, I'll stop. I will, you know, post something in Miiverse, kind of like, and it's usually something short, like, hey, look what I did.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
But
the thing I have with it sometimes is it's the slowness of it.
Yeah, they really need to streamline the process. And I don't think that we're going to get any sort of streamlining until NX. And maybe Miiverse 2.0 on the NX will be top of the line where they really work out all the kinks and really get down to what they really want to do with this.
Yeah.
But anyway. Cool. So that is the Miiverse one.
Or it'll be scrapped altogether.
Or it will be. Well, I don't think it will be, though, because I think it will probably be even more intricately integrated into the system, you know, where you'll be able to check it on your phone. And we're still waiting on, you know, like, we may end up getting a Miiverse app. They've been saying that forever.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
they've been saying that forever. And so like, having a Miiverse app on your phone would be cool. But I really think they almost need to look at it and really decide this is what it's for. You know, like, don't just have a bunch of random weird stuff in it. I don't know. That's just me anyway.
I did forget about the whole connectivity thing with DNA helping them out.
Yeah.
And so they'll probably, you know, as you said, push Miiverse 2.0. And then when people stop using that, they'll probably kill it like they killed TV.
Yeah, probably. Right on. So let's head on into the Splatoon update, which is coming next week.
August 5th.
Yeah, tell us about that, Justin.
Yeah, so it's a free software update. And it's bringing a large, massive amount of content, which is going to actually include two new matchmaking modes, new weapons, and an increase in the game's level cap, which we've heard kind of some rumblings about that people weren't happy about that. And then we're also getting more than 40 new pieces of gear. So this is going to be pretty incredible. So a couple modes, or the modes that we want to talk about is, first, they're introducing a squad battle and a private battle matchmaking options. Now, in the squad battle, players can actually participate in ranked battles and rule sets with friends rather than being teamed up with other people through a random selection, which is currently what it's at. And then after a player creates a squad, friends can be recruited to form a team of 2 to 4 Inklings. Friends will also play together on the same team and play against other squads at random. So basically, you finally get to play with all your friends together.
I'm actually really excited for that.
Stoked
so
for that.
It's either two or four then, right? So you can't have if you have three, what happens? Do they pair you against teams of four? Because I thought I saw something like that online.
Well, I think what you're seeing there is the private battle. Now, in private battle, friends can splat up in a private customized matches. 2 to 8 friends can battle together by selecting their favorite map, mode, and weapons. And the numbers of participants can range from a 1v1 to 4v4. But teams don't even have to be even. If the host chooses, they can select a 1v4, 1v2, or any other combination of players.
That's pretty cool.
So that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I like that. I'm excited for this squad battle, man. I think that we're all going to need to get on there and own some noobs, if you will.
Yeah, and I've already seen some people comment to us on Twitter saying, "Hey, can I join your guys' squad?" Absolutely.
Yeah,
we'll send
out
Twitter messages when we're going to play, and so everyone has a fair bit of warning. Some of the other things to talk about here as well is that they have increased the level cap, or they will be. So it's going from level 20 to level 50. So that's a massive increase. And that's both in regular battle and ranked battle.
Is there going to be a gun for each level like there is currently? Where there's a weapon every time you level up?
That's a really good question. I haven't read anything that supports that, but I guess we're kind of going to see as we get there.
Because that means a heck of a lot more guns to unlock.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing that they're going to do as well is that they're also going to be increasing the rankings. So currently there's S and S plus. So currently A plus is the highest, but apparently S and S plus are what they're going to be adding as well. So that's interesting. I don't know about you guys. I'm still stuck at like C.
I might be a C plus or a B minus.
I float maybe between like a C to like a C plus depending on the day.
Yeah.
I almost got near B minus once and it just didn't work. Couple other things that they're doing as well.
New weapon types, right?
New weapon types. So what they are adding in here is
the slosher, which is a which is like a bucket.
Yep. And then there's another one with a Gatling style splatter.
What they call it, the Splatling, I think is what it's
Splatling.
Called.
Splatling, yeah, there it is, yeah.
And I don't know. They both look kind of cool. They don't look like they're totally different. Like style wise, it's interesting. Like I think there's actually more than right now. It's like there's almost like I'm totally blanking on the regular shooter gun, the splatter shot or whatever it is.
Yep.
The regular gun type. Mm-hmm. There's almost like two, there's like a blaster subtype of those guns too. And so like the slosher almost seems like a sort of like quasi charger almost, like it's got pretty decent range. It's almost like a sort of like a shotgun sort of equivalent. Yep. If you've played other first person shooters before, that almost is what it seems like to me. And then of course the Splatling is just like a really high rate of fire machine gun type, like Gatling gun sort of weapon. Yeah. So those are both looking pretty cool. I'm excited to see those too. Plus there's gonna be whole lot more gear, right?
Like yeah, just regular gear. They're saying more than 40 pieces of gear, which include everything from like a leather jacket to sushi chef costumes, and obviously that's gonna be purchasable through the in-game shop, which we currently use. But the crazy part about this is, I mean, this is obviously and a couple other things to be aware of. To not in relation to this, they've also taken Urchin Underpass offline. I don't know if you guys are aware of this, and they're doing a rebuild of it or some modifications.
Which one is Urchin Underpass? Is that the one that has the kind of the in the center of the level? Kind of you go down under, not underneath, but you know what I mean. There's like that lowered section with like the little ramps that go over top of it or whatever the jumps.
A little bit, yeah, and it's got the kind of like the walkways on the left-hand side with the glass floor.
Yeah.
Well, so
did they say why they took those offline? Are they glitchy?
They're making some adjustments to it, and they actually put up on, I think it was on their Tumblr page, a photograph, and it was like they do such just a fantastic job of creating an environment that feels very real. Like whenever I go to Inkopolis, I feel like I'm going somewhere. Right, I'm going to a culture, a community, and so they actually have like a little sign that has like caution tape over top of it. They show the blueprint sketched out of what they're taking out, what they're putting in, with like red marks for where things are being added. Yeah, if you guys are interested, you should go over to GameExplain.com, YouTube channel, and I'm directing you guys to them. They've got a great an analysis video of them breaking down what's changing in Urchin Underpass based on just a photo that was provided. I don't know if Urchin Underpass goes back online when this update comes on the 5th, but it'll be pretty cool. Sorry, the other thing that I need to make kind of aware of, this update on and I'm saying August 5th. It's August 5th in North America. I think it's August 6th in Europe and Japan just because of time zones and stuff like that. This is free. Massive update, free. But the other thing they've been very clear about is that this is not the end of free content coming for Splatoon, and that more content will be continually rolled out, not only for the rest of the summer, but also the fall. And they talked about, and obviously they're including the Rainmaker ranked battle, additional maps, more weapons. So, you look at something like Splatoon, where this is free content, and I challenge with the word free, because I know that people have said, like, this stuff was already in the disc. But it's just right. being kind of unlocked and allowed.
But this,
off,
but this update, is all entirely new, right? Like this is all really cool stuff.
I think so.
Yeah, I'm assuming so.
I'm assuming so. But you counter this with Smash, where it's like, yeah, and that's great, but it's not free. It's it's a free it's a free update, but the stuff I want, if I want a costume, I want a map or whatever, I have to pay for that.
Yeah.
Right. So for me, like I was saying in the pre-show, Splatoon is just hitting the marks.
Yeah, right? Totally.
Like it just continues, and it's selling more now too. Like I think they're getting shy of, I think I saw 1.5 million now sold on Splatoon.
It's amazing,
man. It continues to be up in like the top 20s for sale numbers for the last couple of months. Like it's hitting. It's just going. Right. And I don't know about you guys, but I love going back and playing the new maps and the ones they've added recently. And
I am definitely looking forward to unpacking my Wii U this weekend and setting it back up and getting some of this stuff figured out. And I'm really excited to getting back in here. I don't know. I still feel like, and again, maybe this is just me. I'm still waiting for that update that brings my Amiibo support in and lets me get my Mario costume and.
Yeah.
Whatever, right? Like, I know that maybe this is something they want to build this IP on its own merit, and they don't want to have it be too reliant upon everything else. But I don't know. With this whole like culture of fashion and stuff like that in this game, I'm still waiting, and I don't know if we're gonna get it or not.
And maybe it's not like you don't get a Mario cap, but like it's there are just some subtle nods to it, right? Like a Mario.
Like a Mario t-shirt or like a jacket or something, just something. I don't know.
The other thing I'd love to see, and this is kind of tied into like the whole Smash update that recently came, is tourneys.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know how you do that. I feel like it'd have to be like squad-based tournaments. And so I don't know how that
works. They kind of already have like ranked battle. And so I think maybe that's serving that itch. But
and I'd like to see YouTube functionality.
That would be interesting too. That would be very cool.
Just like so that I can actually record and post videos.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool. I'd love to see some highlights. Kind of like Mario Kart 8 where it's just that you just kind of you can just watch like a highlight reel even. That'd be really neat. I'd love that. Totally agree.
I wouldn't be shocked if they add it.
No, I wouldn't be either.
Because you look at Smash, you look at Mario, which is very much online play games. It's all about sharing and social. I wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm. Right on. Next one, Jesse, are you still with us?
I'm still here.
Okay, cool. So what do you know about this next one here for Dragon Quest? I know you're a huge Dragon Quest fan. What have we seen for this Dragon Quest update from Square Enix?
So apparently Square Enix had a, I don't know what type of meeting it was, might have been an investor briefing or something, but they announced that Dragon Quest XI will be coming out. I think they said next year on 3DS and PlayStation 4, and then that it'll also come out on NX.
Which is the first game that's been announced for NX, right? Like this, is pretty awesome. Like, it's pretty exciting.
Right.
And to hear and to have it announced like alongside the PlayStation 4, I feel like is like, wait, does this mean that the NX is actually going to be like on par with the PlayStation 4 then? Is that like,
well,
kind
that's
of
what everyone's been hoping, yes.
Or like, yeah, like, and that it's going to be, you know, capable of running the, you know, is it going to be capable of running Unreal Engine 4 then? Because isn't that what Dragon Quest XI is made in? Like, that's the engine it's running?
Yeah, I believe so.
That's pretty cool. That's exciting.
Yeah, and I saw a video of the 3DS version played, and it was kind of interesting how they handled the two screens. The top had the similar type of 3D look that you would expect, is similar to Dragon Quest VIII, and kind of what you'd expect to see on a PS4 or a similarly powered system. But the bottom screen was the exact same scene in the Dragon Quest 6, 7, and or 5, 4, 5, and 6 art style, or Dragon Quest 9 art style. So it was in 2D sprites alongside the 3D textures on top. And it was looking at them both at the same time.
I'm looking at images here, so it's like, yeah, it looks more of like a Super Nintendo style. That's super cool.
Yeah.
I really like that.
So, which I'm thinking, that's kind of cool. Kind of wanted on a console, but I also kind of wanted on the handheld. I might end up double dipping on this one. I don't know yet.
Do you think the story's going to be the same though, or would it be like a side story?
Oh, I imagine it'll be the same game on all three systems.
Yeah. No, yeah, this looks really cool, though. I've never really played a Dragon Quest game, but I feel like, I don't know, if they were to release a new one, I'd probably try it out. Just looking at this here.
Yeah,
very cool and exciting. I mean, the fact that we...
I'm kind of giving up...
Go ahead.
I'm kind of giving up hopes on 10 never coming out, because 10 also was an MMO, so that has its own headaches, but still... 7 had a re-release on 3DS in Japan and never came out. 8 is coming out later, which is still kind of wishy-washy if it's coming out in North America or not. So kind of still hoping for those remakes as well. But still, this is, you know, knowing 11 is being made, that's kind of awesome.
Yeah, I'm really excited for that. And I mean, it's exciting too, just because it's announced for the NX, right? So like, we know now, like that. It's coming soon, man. Like, and for the this just gives me, because next year, did they say when next year it's coming out in Japan? Like, it's
if they did, I didn't catch it. I only heard that it's coming out sometime next year.
Okay, so my guess, like, if they're saying next year for PS4 and 3DS, I wouldn't be surprised if they're like, I don't know, NX it may be closer than we think. I guess is basically what I'm saying. Like, next year, we could be seeing the NX
More specifically, closer than we want to admit, because I've thought that for a while now.
Yeah, like exactly. Like we may be looking at, you know, holiday next year, looking at an NX launch, which is kind of freaky. So, right on. Finally, Justin, you have any thoughts on that before we move on to these last couple of stories?
You know, I just think with the NX, it's interesting that I think all of a sudden, you know, Nintendo has spent a lot of time being like, no, the Wii U is not dead, and we don't want to talk about the NX, and Square Enix is like, hey, by the way, NX over here. And I think, you know, I've watched social media, and I've watched a lot of kind of like the commentary, and now it's being moved more and more to the surface to have that conversation, where Nintendo in the last several months have done a really good job being like, we don't want to talk about it. It's coming, but we don't want to talk about it. And I think their hands being forced right now.
Yeah. Before we move on to the next topic, I did want to throw a little side note in here, especially when you mentioned that the Wii U is not dying, quote unquote.
I'm not dead yet.
This is probably a case where you're not feeling better, because I was catching up on some old podcasts, so a podcast from Lloyd Hannison from a few weeks ago, talked about that so far this year, just in terms of retail Wii U releases, you know, at the time of his recording, there's only been four. And of course, now there is five, because a few days ago, an HD remake of a 10-year-old PS2 game came out. So I don't know if you really want to count that.
Yeah,
but
seriously.
So we had Kirby and the Rainbow Curse, Mario Party 10, Splatoon, Lego Jurassic World, and Legend of K Anniversary. And that's it, all year. We're 7 months into a year and has had five retail releases, including third parties.
Craziness, man. Yeah, I definitely think we're going to we've got more stuff. We've got like Mario Maker coming up. We've got Star Fox. We've got stuff coming up for the rest of this year. But I think Nintendo is trying to say, no, the Wii U's still going strong because they've still got to sell them. Whereas I think that this announcement...
That's true.
This announcement from Square is more indicative of where the rest of the industry is, like where third parties' heads are at, and where a lot of non-Nintendo enthusiasts' heads are at as far as Nintendo goes. So, anyway. All right. Let's head in just to these last couple of pieces. I actually wanted to throw one in here real quick. I know our listeners over in Europe and Japan have already had their new Amiibo waves coming up, but last Friday, Palutena went up on Amazon. I got my pre-order in, and it should be arriving tomorrow, which is exciting. I got that. And then tomorrow morning is the launch of Dark Pit at Best Buy. It's a Best Buy exclusive in the United States. It is not a Best Buy exclusive in Canada. So that I know that EB Games is going to have that one tomorrow morning. So, and I actually have something going on at 9:30, and I think EB Games opens at 10. So I don't know what I'm going to do with that. Well, I'll figure that out tomorrow, but I'm going to be scrambling trying to find a Dark Pit at some point tomorrow. But yeah, so Justin, I don't know if you, for either one of those, if you're interested in those or what your plans are with those. But
I'm going to let them settle. I'm going to not go for those ones. I've got some other ones on the horizon that I'm keeping my eye and dollars for more than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That Dr. Mario.
Yeah, that Dr. Mario one, the Duck Hunt, Game & Watch, man. Game & Watch is looking pretty cool. So
yeah.
We will see how that goes tomorrow. You know what I realized is that I'm starting school in September, and guess who has a 9 o'clock class only on Friday mornings?
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah, not happy about that. That is like the worst timing ever for me for that class to be.
That's what you get for trying to get yourself as an education.
I know, right? So that's Amiibo. Also, Super Mario Maker Hackathon with Facebook. I saw something I think it was Josh Thomas from the BitBlock making a comment on Facebook like, oh yeah, you know how Facebook is, Nintendo's going to Facebook and showing off this game to Facebook and then advertising it and showing it off as though anybody else other than at Facebook is excited about them doing this. I don't understand this at all, other than the fact that they're getting that they're showing this off to people at Facebook and that they're including levels from Facebook. Justin, do you know more about this advertising campaign thing?
I think they're only showing one level.
The winner of what they're doing, what they call the hackathon, gets the teams were broken up. They're building levels, and one team's level is going to be kind of selected as the winner, and this is done by a panel of judges from both Nintendo and Facebook. And then that winning individual or team, so I guess it could be an individual or team, then can have that game actually put into Mario Maker. But it's interesting, the level become available after launch.
Okay, so this is going to end up being like one of those things where, do you remember, did either of you guys play WarioWare DIY back in the day?
No.
For WiiWare. It was like a WarioWare game where you could make your own WarioWare games, like your own sort of challenges, where you could draw them and whatever. And you made them on, I think they you made them on the DSiWare version of the game, and then you could play them on either the DSiWare game or the Wii game. But they had different games from different developers, so like all sorts of Japanese video game developers, they had that you could download their games. And I suspect that they're going to have a very similar approach for Mario Maker moving forward. You know, here's Mark Zuckerberg's Mario level, you know, and stuff like that.
I want to see the Hideo Kojima's level.
Yeah. Whoa. Right. Like, so
that would rock.
I think it'll be pretty cool. We'll see some pretty cool levels rolled out each week, specifically from Nintendo, from people who are famous or whatever, people who, you know, here's one specifically from Miyamoto, and here's one from, you know, whoever else, right? Like, lots of different people will do them. Here's Bill Trinan made this level, and it's and it says like Trin Troll on it or something. I don't know. Anyway, yeah. So I don't know. That's pretty cool. You can see the pictures posted on our Facebook page as well. We reposted Nintendo's pictures there, so you can see them, or you can just go over to Nintendo's Facebook page. I think they have them there too. So.
You should probably come to ours.
You should just come to ours. Yeah, that's the responsible thing to do. Finally, Nintendo Loot Crate. Tell us about this, Justin.
So today it was kind of sort of announced that Nintendo is going to do their own kind of version of Loot Crate. And for those of you that don't know what Loot Crate is, essentially it's a service, kind of like a what I would refer to as a beer of the month club, beer of the month club, or meat of the month club. We're essentially
a month. Here's a nice Christmas ham for you, kid.
We're essentially a gift is a box is sent to you of you know, whether it's beer or meat or whatever it is. But Loot Crate does kind of the geek culture stuff. And Jesse, you do Loot Crate, don't you?
I do, and my kids fight over who gets to pick out the best stuff first every month.
Yeah. So now I should say Loot Crate has had an Amiibo Loot Crate kind of package that people have been able to subscribe to. I think it's like, you know, you get it for $20 a month, this box.
And it was way overpriced.
Yeah, a couple of Amiibos.
It wasn't a monthly thing. It was just a one-time shot thing, I thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you got like four different packages or something like that.
So Nintendo will soon be offering a monthly subscription for home delivery merchandise packaged in a themed box. I can only imagine this is going to look like a question mark box. The end box, as they're kind of nicknaming it right now, will include toys, clothes, and other items inspired by or branded with Nintendo's many iconic characters. And the box will be available in 3, 6, or 1 month plans.
1 year plans.
Yeah, or 1 year plans. Sorry. yeah. So that's all we know about it. That kind of just hit today or earlier today. Don't know much more about it other than that. The impression I get from it, though, I will say from everything I've read, is it sounds like it's only in the UK or in Europe. So I don't know if it's coming to North America yet. The impression I got from everything I read, though, was it definitely felt like it was definitely directed at Europe. So, but either way,
looking at their website, it's like they have like Xbox and it's the Xbox One controller, PlayStation, it's the PS4 controller. Nintendo, it's a Super Nintendo controller.
Nice.
I don't know. Yeah, I definitely, I would totally be interested in this. I initially thought reading this article that it was going to be something that Nintendo offered themselves. I think Nintendo would actually be really smart to do something like this themselves and just kind of cut all of that out and say, you know what? All right, guys, here's, even if it wasn't every single month, Club Nintendo very clearly showed that people have a desire, and Amiibo as well, you know, people have a very clear desire and demand for Nintendo merchandise.
Swag.
Just swag, yep. Right? And so if you were to say, all right, this month is Mario month, and then we're going to have Donkey Kong month, and we're going to have, you know, Earthbound month, and like just have all these weird months that you could have, people would go nuts. And I think that it would actually be smart as well to kind of almost have a, not to have it be like lower, like maybe even have like a lower barrier to entry sort of deal about it, right? Like Like, I know, like, especially in Canada, Loot Crate is not cheap, you know, when it, for it to come every month. And so to have it be maybe, I don't know, Jesse, what does Loot Crate go for nowadays, like, per month?
I pay by the quarter.
Okay.
And I think I pay $55 every 3 months.
Okay, that's so that's not too bad. So like,
it's reasonable.
So it's like roughly $20 a month, right? Even if they were to do...
Just shy of it, yeah.
Yeah, like even if they were to do... I don't know, I feel like they'd be smart to even maybe do like a lighter version of that even, you know, where it was maybe something a little bit smaller, maybe aimed towards kids. Like, I would still buy it, but, you know, aimed maybe a little bit more towards kids, where it's like, here's a notebook and some stickers and, you know, whatever, a cleaning rat, stuff that you would get on Club Nintendo, and then maybe like once a quarter or once or twice a year, you'd get kind of a bigger crate, so to speak. I don't know. I think it would be cool. It'd be neat. I don't know if they necessarily will do it. They've kind of shown that with Club Nintendo, they are not interested in being in that space. But, you know, they're kind of moving more towards digital, and they're, presenting all of their digital rewards is kind of the direction they're moving, but we'll see. So I would definitely be interested in it, though. I don't know. What about you, Justin?
Yeah, I would definitely be interested in it. But I would hope that somewhere in there I'm qualifying my age, right? Like, I'm hoping I don't get a Mario toothbrush.
Come on, you totally do.
Actually, I kind of do now that I think about it. I like the idea of it. If any of you are in the UK and you're getting this, let us know. We'd love to know more about it.
We would love for you to send them to us.
Yeah. I just looked at Loot Crate's pricing, and they do have 1, 3, 6, and 12 month plans. Each one. A discount per month over the previous one. It's just so if you go a year in advance, it's a total of $215, which is pretty much by 11 months get the 12 month free.
Cool. Right on. All right, guys, let's get going into what we've been playing, shall we?
Do it.
All right. So Justin, what have you been playing this week?
You know what? This has been a very quiet gaming week for me. The only thing I've actually had an opportunity to play at all has been Splatoon, which shouldn't be a shock. My kids are still loving it. They still love playing it with me. My daughter's getting really quite good, actually, at Turf Battle, which is very exciting. And I played the new Camp Triggerfish stage. Which I thought was awesome.
I totally forgot about that.
Really
What is it about that stage that's different?
It feels like you're at camp. It's got like a wood paneling feel to it. They've got these crates that you can drop through really nicely. You're kind of floating over water, so you kind of don't do that effect, or you don't do that effectively, you're gonna die. I found that for the tower control. It's just the layout just makes it really, you've got to really work effectively as a team to actually get your tower to where it needs to be. I just like the aesthetic of it. It's just really great. So I definitely recommend playing it. Although I will say I had a bit of an incident recently on Splatoon that just got me angry. It's just like when you're, it's just different play styles. So if we're playing, and it wasn't the tower. What's the other one where you have to control the bases? Splat zones. Well, in this one, for this splat zone, for the camp Triggerfish, there is, it's a two splat zone coverage, which are actually right across to each other. And so I'm using, you know, pretty good weapon. I'm getting really good at just using the guns. And, you know, again, you've got your objective is to control your space. Well, the freaking three other people I'm playing with decide to be snipers. and they sit up at the top of one of the ledges and they're just shooting the other team randomly. Well, they're not trying to actually cover the turf. Like, they're just like trying to take headshots. And I'm like, am I the only one working down here? And by this time, like, the other team has controlled both bases and are just sitting there just poaching, basically.
Oh,
and I was like,
thinking they're playing Call of Duty.
Yeah, I'm like, you need to get off the ledge and come down here and do some work, or else I'm going to try and kill you myself. and it's just frustrating because I think there are times like, and it's a byproduct. I mean, I'm interested to see how the team base works after this update. But you know, because you get obviously randomly put into groups, but sometimes like you just gel really well, and you're playing with people that you may never know, you may never see, you may never have a conversation with, but just like it feels like it's gelling really well, like, you know. I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. You know what you're doing. Everyone's working together as a team. It's great. And then they kind of do the, oh, you know, let's play again. Sure. And then it shuffles a team. And then you're stuck with a guy who I think's got his finger up his nose and doesn't know what he's doing. And I have no problem with the learning curve, but just like, I don't think
you
understand the objective
you won
of the game.
Last time.
Sorry?
Then you found out why you won last time.
Yeah, exactly. It was like you played last game, didn't you?
Well, and you know, I mean, this is the challenge with any game that has the ranked battle and they start you at the bottom. Like you've got to work your way out of the dredges and the terrible players, and it's hard to get out of those rankings, because even if you yourself understand how this game is played, you're matched with three people who totally suck at this game and you end up losing matches anyways, and it is so it can be so frustrating. I almost wonder if they, I know some games online will even kind of ask you, like, how comfortable are you with this game before you ever jump in or get with games like this? And then they will, you know, start, even if your ranking is the same, you know, you kind of have like the novice and the intermediate and the hard challenge, you know, the rankings there, and just kind of allow you to place yourself in the ranking somewhat. And then, you know, if you really suck and you place yourself too high, then your ranking's going to fall and eventually you'll settle where you should be roughly. But to have everybody start at the bottom, it's really frustrating to.
Yeah. And I should kind of clarify that. I'm not like trying to be a snob about it either. Words. Also, because I mean, like, for example, I let my daughter, you know, my daughters will use my profile in play, and you know, I'm sitting at, you know, level 17 and I do pretty well, but I'm sure like all of a sudden, you know, when I let my daughters play, I have them play Turf War, not ranked battles.
Right.
Cause your ranked battles, people, they're in there for very, you know, if you lose, you're not getting your coins, you're not getting up, you know, and it's a different level of intensity, which is why Nintendo said you had to be like a level 10 to get into it. Right. Which I appreciate.
Yeah.
So I appreciate like the learning curve of the game and that people have to, you know, like I get all that. I totally do. But I think ranked battles might be just like that. Like, hey, if you're here, you should probably know what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
And also now I understand why you don't have voice chat in this game.
Because otherwise you're going to have Justin, dude, what are you doing? Ah, yeah.
This would have went from PG-13 show real fast.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Right on, dude. Well, I am excited to get this. Man, I'll just say right now, I have done a whole lot of nothing, like no gaming. Even on my 3DS, I was kind of saying in the pre-show, I was actually planning on downloading The Binding of Isaac because that game, I've heard good things about it. I mean, it's a little bit on the grown-up side from my understanding, grown-up themes, but I'm interested, and on the 3DS, I may come back to that, but other than that, I haven't really been playing a whole lot other than I've been playing Hearthstone on my phone. Got to rank 12 in Hearthstone. For those of you who know what that means, I'm actually doing pretty good this month. But other than that, I haven't played a whole lot of anything. So, Jesse, what have you been playing? Jesse?
Well, I haven't been playing a lot lately because I've been, you know, working. working. You know, on the road, but I do have a few things I want to talk about. So I mentioned last time that I started playing Heroes of the Storm,
Oh, I saw that you'd played. I saw that you were on there just kind of as I was hopping on. I think I was playing Hearthstone or something. How are you liking that so far?
So far, I'm still digging it. You know, I did play a few more, just kind of me versus AIs for a while, and then I did do one battle where I was playing with humans, and it went kind of, it's about the same. You know, it seems like my side just seemed to, we didn't dominate, but we weren't just smacked either. You know, we just kind of
The matchmaking, I
had
think
a.
recently they actually changed the matchmaking a little bit, so they're matching new players with new players and not just based on wins and losses, but also on
Yeah.
new players and stuff like that with new players. So that's
So
probably improving
it
the
seemed to be,
experience.
we kind of got an early lead, and well, we were the first to get to level two, and then they hit level two just as we were hitting three, and you know, by the end of the game, we were like two levels ahead. So we weren't, you know, we didn't smash them, but we did eventually win, and I'll probably still continue playing that. And then, yeah, we should try to play
Yeah,
together
we'll
again on
need to.
Skype and try to actually organize ourselves.
Yeah, for sure. I'll play. I've got a few different characters I like to play as for sure, so we'll definitely need to do that.
And the other thing I wanted to talk about is not a game, but it is gaming related. I saw the movie Pixels.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I want to know, I want to hear about this because I actually may have a chance to go and see this week, and I'm tempted, and especially with like this with Mission Impossible coming out, I'm like, oh well, I'm actually like by myself at home for a few days, and so I'm kind of like, I could go and see like the new Mission Impossible, but I also kind of want to see the Pixels, even though it's totally terrible apparently. What is your sort of early verdict on Pixels?
Have you ever had this, had a game where it's just dumb, but you enjoyed it?
Yes. Every single Adam
That
Sandler
that's what this is. The plot's horrible, it is completely contrived, and but you just it's one of those, and I normally don't like handheld movies, but this is just one of those, shut your brain off, don't think about it, and enjoy it.
Okay, so is this like compared to other Adam Sandler movies, like the classics, I don't know, like
Billy Madison,
Billy
Happy
Madison
Gilmore.
or Happy Gilmore, or like even the more recent, like I probably I don't know, my wife loved Grown Ups for some reason. I thought it was almost unbearable, but she loved it.
See, I didn't even see that one.
Yeah,
So,
so how
but
does it compare that way? Like as far as like juvenile humor and you know what I mean, like that kind of stuff.
the humor doesn't get as crude as, you know,
Which
Adam
is
Sandler's
understandable,
movies
like
past.
considering they've got all these different Nintendo or all these different video game franchises, they've got to keep it a little bit more PG, right?
Right. And so, but there is some adult humor mixed in. You know, it's kind of, you know, the type of humor that kids just wouldn't get. And then they'll see the movie again in 15 years and went, how did I not realize
Yeah,
that?
totally.
Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, and you know, I liked, you know, near the very end where you just had just a mishmash of all the arcade characters just all showing up at once.
Right.
And going through the credits, I even, you know, they showed the copyrights of all the of all the types of characters that was in the movie, and Masters of the Universe showed up. I'm like, I don't remember seeing any of that in the movie. So,
Oh wow, that's interesting.
but they had, Frogger, Burger Time, Mario, as in Jumpman from Donkey Kong,
Right.
and just Joust characters. I think other than the girl in red, and I forget her name, I think every character in the movie was a video game character.
That's pretty cool. You see, I'm excited to go see it. It was hilarious though. On I don't know if you guys saw this on social media, where like Nintendo was sending out tweets like, "Oh, go and see Pixels with Donkey Kong," and like all of the replies on Twitter were like, "How dare you ever lend Donkey Kong to such a terrible movie," and like all that kind of stuff. Like they were,
"You sold out.
You sullied the name of Donkey Kong." I completely
understand why the critics crapped on it as they did, because
every single Adam Sandler movie is like that though. Like I don't know why anybody was surprised.
But even if Adam Sandler wasn't in it, it could have been someone else. Yeah, it still would have been a bad movie.
Uh-huh.
But movie critics are looking for the next Alfred Hitchcock. They're looking for something that's super cerebral. This isn't it, but it's still just fun to just sit back and enjoy it. And I normally don't like that type of movie either. I like the cerebral. But this one I did enjoy, and I will be seeing it again this weekend and bringing the kids with me.
Wow.
When I saw it.
You're even going before, back. Okay, that's it.
I am going back, yes. When I saw it before, it was when all the kids were out the wife had them all at an SCA event, and I had the house to myself. And I'm like, I can sit around here, do nothing for a while, or I can go out and see a movie. I'm like, oh, let's see Pixels without the kids for once and see how this turns out.
Nice.
And I enjoyed it.
Right on, dude. I'm probably going to go see it.
And I think you'll all appreciate that I purposely try to avoid talking about it online until I had this show. So this, you got the scoop from me.
Very cool. No, absolutely. Very cool. Right on. Anything else before we head into and before we allow the postman to grace us with a presence? All right, we're good. All right, postman, let's do this. Right on. Justin, why don't you read our first email this week?
Sure. Give me just 1 second. All right. Email reads, and this is from our good friend Alan Haas. Alan writes, "The last couple of years, my gaming consoles have been 3DS and the Wii U. Good choices. Lately, I've been missing the more serious adult gaming experiences. So, for example, Red Dead Redemption and Far Cry. I pretty much decide that I want a PS4, but being a dad, I probably won't be buying one soon. So I've been considering Monster Hunter and Fire Emblem. I've never played either franchise before. I tried the Fire Emblem 4 demo, and I don't know if it's for me, and I'm afraid... I tried the Monster Hunter 4 demo, and I don't know if it's for me, and I'm afraid the Fire Emblem will be too slow-paced, but the premise of Fates sounds dynamite.
Considering Fire Emblem Awakening is probably, the 12th game?
I think some of you guys like Fire Emblem, so I'm writing and hoping you can sell me on Fire Emblem Awakenings. P.S. If you're looking for a fourth man to join your Splatoon squad in August, let me know. Well, Alan, we're going to let you know right now, sir. You can definitely join our Splatoon squad.
Oh, Dave will be upset if he
gets... Well, we'll rotate it. We'll rotate out Dave Alan and all
the rotating fourth chair.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll definitely have some Splatoon nights for sure. Okay, so as far as Fire Emblem goes, he wants us to sell him on Fire Emblem Awakening. And now I'm the only one who's played this game, right? So as far as the initial bit there, I would say, first of all, there's a Fire Emblem Awakening demo on the eShop. So download that thing and try that out. And I definitely, I don't ever remember thinking that game was slow. They've definitely done some really great work with that game, specifically in Fire Emblem Awakening, to curb the difficulty level. So I'm pretty sure when I played through that game, I played it, and this is probably going to expose me as being a total noob and whatever, and I don't even care. Send us your emails. I don't care. But I played that game on easy and casual mode. So permadeath off and like the easiest difficulty. And it was fun. I really liked it. I played it all the way through. And before I defeated the final boss, a big part of that game is the relationship building between characters to then create, basically to then have, you know, your those children, those characters' offspring then coming like from the future to help fight as well or whatever. And so like I basically had I had unlocked every single secret character by the end of it and got a ton of, there's a ton of cool, like both like spot pass, which I don't know if that stuff is still going or if that just automatically triggers when you play the game or how that those spot pass missions work. But there's also DLC missions you can download and stuff as well. So I really liked it. I don't, again, like I said, I don't remember it ever being slow. I just remember it being like a very, I believe there was 25 missions or something like that in the game. So you definitely get your time, like you definitely get your money's worth there, as well as you've also got the opportunity to kind of fight the randomly appearing sort of battles on the overworld if you feel like you need to do some additional leveling up of characters or building, you know, building up resources and stuff like that. So I really liked it. And I mean, the other thing too that's great about that game is the interactions between characters as you're building those relationships. The cutscenes, not cutscenes, but the sort of dialogue trees that you get as they interact with one another are actually really charming, and I really enjoyed those too. So definitely download the demo and try that out. And you know, if you have any other questions, hit me up on Twitter and just, you know, I can kind of answer some of your other questions too. But I really enjoyed it, and it's just really fun. So I don't know.
If you've heard that all the previous Fire Emblem games are slow-paced, but I think most of them, if not all of them, have the ability to just shut off battle animations, and that's pretty probably why it most people complain about so slow.
And you can do that in this one too. You can do that on Awakenings too. On Awakening.
So this, if you think the battle animations are slow, are dragging things down, then you just shut them off, and that's just speed up the pace.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's a good point. I hadn't thought about that. And also just pacing wise as well, it's like if you're playing compared to like the GBA version or something like that, they've definitely picked up the pace since then. And they've got beautiful cutscenes too, like in full, like the 3D cutscenes are just beautiful. It's some of the best graphics in the 3DS is on those cutscenes. So I mean it's one of my favorite 3DS games. I'd say if I were to look at my favorite 3DS games, it's definitely like the top three for sure, right up there with Kid Icarus and Smash Brothers. So I absolutely recommend it. I think that's it. Is that all we've got this week for the postman?
That's all we got for a postman.
Well,
this week.
Hey man, that is. I think that might be a show then. What do you think?
I'm going to challenge. Like I'm going to challenge us with the Nintendo question of the week.
Oh, hey, all right.
Remember how we had last week?
Yeah.
What is your very first Nintendo game memory?
Okay, here. Let me. There we go. It's still like kind of mildly like not applicable, this music. All right, Jesse, you go first. What is your first Nintendo game memory?
I remember, I think I was in sixth or seventh grade. No, seven. I think it was seventh grade is when I first got my the NES. This was 87, so it's been out in North America for about a year or so before I picked it up. So the first game I have is the game that it came with, the Super Mario Brothers and Duck Hunt. And I remember spending a lot of time on World 1-1, 1-2, 1-3, 1-4. It was, back then it probably took me like a month before I finally beat 1-4. And I remember getting so upset when There's more? I'm not done yet. Princess is in another castle? What?
Nice.
Because you know, at the time, I'm used to the arcade bite-size games that only last 3 to 5 minutes anyway. So I wasn't expecting the game to be as long as it is for, you know, 1987. So that was just a surprise to me.
Right on. Cool. Yeah, I think the first memory that I have of any Nintendo game was with the original Game Boy. My first actual memory is probably going on a road trip to my aunt's wedding and playing Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins. Just on the road trip, playing that a little bit, playing it when we were at, you know, over, I don't even remember where we were. I was so young, but that is my first memory, like very clear memory of playing a Nintendo game was Super Mario Land 2, 6 Golden Coins, which was, I believe, the first appearance of Wario was in that game.
That is correct.
So, and like it has one of the best power-ups in all of Mario history in that game too, with the carrot.
The rabbit hood?
The carrot, yeah. With the bunny ears, where you get to bounce everywhere. It's super fun. I wish they'd bring back those rabbit ears. Seriously, one of my favorite power-ups in all of Mario history. So yeah, that's my first memory. What about you, Justin?
So I very distinctly remember wanting an NES, and my mother, single mother, raised me as a single mom, wanted to distill the value of work and hard effort. And so she said that she'd make a deal and that she'd pay half of it. So I had to earn the other half through chores and through, you know, saving birthday money and stuff like that. And I think it took me like 6 months. And I think in total, how much was it? Probably, I think it was $150 back then. And wow. I remember like, you know, well, it was late 80s. I remember mm-hmm. saving up all that money, going to the Toys R Us in Calgary, which is where we were close to living, and buying this box, which was probably about half the size of me.
And you're like, this is the most amazing.
This is
day
the
of
best thing
life.
Ever, and bring it home and setting it up, and just like, I remember like going before I would go to school in the morning. I would get up at like 6:45, and I would sit in front of the television, you know, probably not more than 4 feet away from it, and just like try and speed run levels, right? Like, oh no, I got 5 minutes. I can finish Mario.
Nice.
And not out of a
challenge to beat the level, but like simply because I only have 5 minutes and then mom's going to make me turn it off. So I better freaking
exactly.
Beat this
and
level.
I've got to go to school. So I've got to go. but I remember like playing it at home with me and my mom. And that was like just something that we just did. Right. Like it was, so we kind of, play together and, you know, hand the controller back and forth or play, you know, Mario and Luigi. But I remember my mom, this was back when they had the zapper in it. And so one night we played Duck Hunt for all night or whatever. And the next morning she goes, we can't play the Duck Hunt game anymore. I was like, what do you mean we can't play the Duck Hunt game anymore? Why is that? She's like, because I had a nightmare about it last night. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, people started walking around the streets shooting people with zappers.
Oh, man.
So she's like, I just can't do it anymore. And I was like, well, that's
she prophesized Splatoon.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, Mom, that sounds like your problem, Mom. I'm still playing.
Yeah, exactly. But I have very distinct memories, and I've talked about it before on the show of my mom and I playing video games together, and it was, I think back in the 80s where it was like, oh, video games will rot your mind and stuff like that, and I remember my mom just being very cool about you know, hey, if that's something you want to do, and that's, but it was always like having to work to earn your money for it. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So
yeah, for sure. I remember it was mostly like for me growing up, it was more of just like it was like you don't get a new game unless it's like Christmas or your birthday.
Yeah.
Other than that, it was like, no, like you just don't get a new one. You get Star Fox 64 for Christmas and you play that sucker until your birthday and then you get a new game.
Yeah.
Like that's basically what it was like at my house, which was awesome. So, yeah, well, right on, man. That's awesome. I'm excited. I like these new, just like questions of the week. I say we keep doing them.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Before we end, can I throw one more out?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm kind of quickly trying to look up when this game was released. Because, you know, so while I'm looking this up, I'll give a little premise. So I started working at 14 when I started ninth grade. Okay, so that will be September 1988. One of my rules that my mom set up when I started working was you have to, you know, save half your money and then you have to at most half your money is you can spend it on what you want. So one of the first things I chose to buy was Castlevania II: Simon's Quest. Cause that came out in December of 1988.
Oh, okay.
So I just remember that's the first game that I actually paid for myself.
Very cool. Mm-hmm.
And I eventually beat the game.
I think the first game I ever paid for myself was, I think it was actually Pokemon Blue. That would have been around like grade 7 or 8 when I would have gotten my first job. So like just working, you know, on the side or whatever. So yeah, that makes sense. That's cool. I'm bringing up all sorts of memories too. I remember that my first RPG on Game Boy was, again, we did a lot of road trips growing up. Like we'd go to like Boise or like Salt Lake. We've got family like all over the place. Like we'd go to Utah or Idaho or whatever from where we live, and be in the car for like 10 or 12 hours, you know, on these long road trips. And so I remember playing Final Fantasy Adventure, which was remade as Sword of Mana and kind of like spun into the Mana series. But man, that like was my first ever RPG, and it was basically like what I played instead of playing Zelda, because I didn't have Zelda as a kid. But yeah, again, another one of those early memories. One of my favorite early games on the Game Boy for sure. So right on. Well, I think that about does it, gents. Anything else before we lead out here on our final bit here?
No, I would say, as I always say, guys, we love your emails. We love your Twitter interactions. And by the way, there was Twitter interactions this week. It was just more kind of conversations as opposed to questions. That's why we didn't post anything for shout outs and stuff like that, guys. But thank you so much for always reaching out to us. We love your guys. We just love you guys. It's awesome. Thank
Absolutely.
You.
And I mean, by all means, continue to reach out to us on all the social medias, and we will, of course, interact and get back with you as well. And of course,
if you want something read on the show, email us.
Absolutely. So again, thank you everyone for listening this week. You can find us on all of the social medias. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram at Nintendo Dads. Email us nintendodads@gmail.com. You can find us here every Wednesday night. Usually we were a day late this week. That was my fault. I'll take the blame for that. Usually every Wednesday night, twitch.tv/NintendoDads. You can look us up on YouTube. Just search for us, Nintendo Dads, over there. Call in and leave us a voicemail and give old Mildred the skeleton something to do. 929-25-NDADS. That's 929-256-3237. We will play your voicemail on the show if you would rather not read or write or whatever your thing is. You can also big thanks to ocremix.org for the music, both the beginning and the end of the show, as well as to Carter Johnson for amazing artwork. You can go over to megacarter.tumblr.com and check out all of her work over there. And of course, if there's one thing you can do to change the world this week, go over to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review and leave a written review as well. That will get us into all of the ears out there and spread the word there. So we appreciate all of you who have left us a review so far, and we appreciate those who are going right now to leave a review as well. So thank you very much. Also, you can check us out on Stitcher and of course vgtribune.com. Until next week, everybody, go and play some games, and we will see you next week. Bye bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dads.
You know what game I'm really digging right now?
What's that?
Zeo Drifter.
Oh, dude.